Hello, 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 everyone, and a warm, warm welcome to another episode of the What's Going On podcast. We're back at it again. It's been a while, Joshua, right?
Yeah, it's been probably two weeks or so.
Yeah. We got a little bit into our summer schedule.
Midsummer and all that, you know, the Swedish traditions.
For you guys who don't live in Sweden, we have a tradition called Midsummer, where we basically drink a lot of alcohol and just to be out and enjoying the sun. So we've been a bit on a break, but as we said, we're back at it again. And this is not an episode with only me and Chua, because today we have two guests with us. We have Helmer Rusten and Eric McHugh. A warm welcome, guys.
Hi, thank you for having us.
Hello.
How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
Got an off day today, so I'm happy to be on the podcast.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, cool. I'm in Norway, so it's after training.
Cool. And it's quite a unique situation. We've had like two guests before, Chua, but this is unique because we have two professional footballers. Both Helmer and Eric play football professionally, and they're here with us at the same time. And they're not only like professional footballers playing in teams in the different countries, they're also best friends, which is like super cool. Can we start off with Helmer? Can you like briefly introduce yourself to the listeners who haven't heard about you before?
Yeah, my name is Martin Helmer Rusten. I grew up kind of same childhood as Eric, where we like grew up abroad, moving around. So I lived in Hungary and Thailand and Bangladesh, and then moved back to Norway when I was 15, and then started at a kind of like a proper academy here. And then everything went quickly from I was 15, and then suddenly a year later I was on like the youth national team. I was on the youth national team for like 3 years until I was 17. Had a big injury. I was out for like 2.5 years and then back playing injury free like 2.5 years ago. And then I've slowly but surely been getting back to it until now.
Thank you, Helmer. Really interesting to hear a little bit about you. Can you also introduce yourself a little, Eric?
Yeah, of course. My name is Eric McHugh. I am a center back for El Paso Locomotive FC in the USL, which is the second division in America, for anyone who doesn't know what that is. Like Helmer said, kind of similar background. I was born in Sweden. I'm a Swedish American, born in Sweden, lived in China, Thailand, and the US, and 1 year in the Faroe Islands playing football. And that's where me and Helmer met, was in Thailand. I think we were in like seventh grade or something. A long time ago, but been playing football with each other for a few years in Thailand. And then I moved on to the US, where I joined the DC United Academy and the Houston Dynamo Academy, where kind of the same story as Helmer. I joined the academy for Houston and then things took off really quickly. I was in the academy for about a year and a half and then got signed to the first team. Didn't work out as well as I would have hoped. I was there for 3 years, went on loan for 1 year, and then last year I played one season in the Faroe Islands Premier League. And then now I'm here and been having quite a good season for myself in the USL. So been kind of all over the place and just now starting to settle myself a bit in the US.
And you both mentioned a little, but can you tell us a little bit about how like you became close friends living in the same city in Thailand, and how it was to like start to become friends and then play football together?
All right, the story. I think Palmer, you tell your side of the story first, and then I'll tell my side of the story, which is so funny. And then we'll compare. So just go.
Okay, so I moved to Thailand in the beginning of seventh grade. I always played a lot of football, so when I got there, the first thing my dad was always looking for was like what football team I could join, and we found out through kind of Eric and another friend we had there, Max, that a team called BSS was interesting. So I joined there, joined Eric and Max, and we were obviously like same grade, same school, same football team. So slowly but surely, we became better and better friends, and until we were kind of inseparable.
Oh, were you guys in FC Bangkok, or what club was that?
So yeah,
we started, so it was first BSS, yes. And then after a year.
FC Bangkok. I don't really, the reason why we switched to FC Bangkok, I think it was because of you, Helmer. Like you somehow like came in contact with Andy Clausen, who was our old coach. And he was saying how he was like putting this team together. Like it was like a lot of international kids because the team we were on BSS was basically half Japanese, like half Japanese and like a few Thai kids. So we could like kind of barely understand them. There were like maybe two or three other like, no, honestly, there were like two or three other like international kids. And it was like quite tough to really get close with them because they, we were all really cool with them. Like we had a great time, but like we wanted to be in an environment where it was a bit more like mixed, I guess you could say. Like it was kind of tough for us to communicate with them. And then, so we were just looking for other options. And then that seemed to be a really good club. They had a good setup. And so we joined and me and Helmer had a great time. But I mean, just to tell you the story of how like my side of the story and Helmer and I met, basically what he was saying, how I had like my best friend or whatever. I did have a really good friend there when I moved. His name was Max. He played football. We played at the same team. We played BSS together for like half a semester before Helmer came. And then so Helmer came and then another one of our friends, Zach, he also joined the club. And me and Max were like, at first, I didn't like Helmer at all for no reason either. I didn't really like him just because it was literally like Helmer said, like me and Max were just best friends. And in my head, I was like, oh, like I don't want anyone to like ruin that. and then after like maybe like less than a month, like me and Helmer were already like closer than like anybody else that I knew. And so no, me and him became like best friends and, you know, we just like got closer ever since. And since then, you know, we've kept in contact. We'd like always play like games together, call together. We visit each other pretty much every off season, like train together and stuff. I also use his personal trainer now. Shout out Sam. He's a psychopath. I will have to say he trains me the hardest I've ever been trained in my life. But no, I mean, it's been great. Like me and Helmer have always like pushed each other a lot. Like when I was in DC and hearing about him, like going to the national team and like playing Stabæk, like I was so happy for him. And then when he heard about me, like signing with Houston and all that kind of stuff that happened in the beginning, he was happy for me. So we've just been supporting each other throughout our journey and, you know, helping each other whenever the other one needs it. So.
And yeah, it must be nice having each other to motivate each other and also maybe holding each other accountable as well.
Yeah, Helmer's very honest with me when I show him something like I think could have been better. And Helmer's like, yeah, that was terrible. You need to be better at this.
I mean, it's the other way around as well. I mean, as soon as you show something that you even felt like was good yourself, then Eric's just there like, wait, that's what you were talking about was so good? And then you just sat there just kind of like, oh, shit.
we'll roast each other. We keep each other very grounded, but, you know, we're also there to help each other as well.
Yeah. All right. Helmer, after Thailand, you and the family obviously moved back to Norway after being abroad for, I don't know, was it 8 years? And then you joined Stabæk. How would you describe that transition, you know, from playing in school and, you know, clubs in Thailand to playing in Norway in a top academy? And even the national
team. It was obviously extremely different. I mean, in Hungary and Thailand, we had these kind of expat academies where pretty much the people who weren't from the country we were living in had created some academy. And then all these kind of outsiders, I don't know the English word for it, kind of joined, right? And they were like decently professional, always with coaches that had coached at some decent level before and some stuff like that. But I also had a year in Bangladesh where I had literally no football coach. I literally had this Nigerian called Sunny who would coach me 3 times a week on a hard court tennis pitch where I had literally just dribbled through cones in like the 100% humidity there. So I pretty much had a year like clubless there with no coaching whatsoever. But when I moved back to Norway, I knew someone who played for like one of the better academies by chance in where I was like living. And I was allowed to train for this team for a few weeks during the summer as I moved back home. And they kind of told me that, you know what, you're allowed to join us for half a season because the Norwegian season goes from winter to winter. So I kind of like joined right in the middle. They told me you can join for half a season and we'll take it from there because I mean, in the back of their minds, they're probably saying like, "Ah, oh, he looks like he works hard, but he's kind of shit." So I was allowed to stay for half a season, and I was lucky because during the half season, I was obviously the fourth string center back, but I gradually like started working my way into it. And I remember the first half season, I was like stressed every time I came to training because the level was so much higher than like I'd ever played in, and everything was difficult. So I literally came to training like stressed. I mean, bro, that there was like PTSD that first half year, but I mean, not really, but like it was fucking hard, right? But my mindset would always like, shit, what I need to improve on to make this fun, you know? So gradually I started getting better, and there was also a lot of injuries in the center backs who played in front of me. So I kind of luckily got a lot of playing time as well. Then suddenly that spring afterwards, we went to a tournament in Denmark, and I just balled out. I played amazingly. I played like so well, and kind of out of the blue, you know, all the work that had been done like beforehand just suddenly came to light, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of started the whole like snowball effect with everything going well. I got into the first like city meet with the best players in the city. Then from there was like, I think every year there was like one regional meet. I had by chance got into the city meet before the year's regional meets, and I got into the regional meet. And then that regional meet was the first regional meet before the first national team meet. So all of a sudden I had one city meet, one regional meet, and then suddenly I was into the national team. And all the other players there had been in this like city team for like the last 2 years. They had been to every like regional meet and everything. Like all the players were kind of well known, or everyone knew each other, because I mean, football doesn't move that fast, you know. But I suddenly came out of nowhere, one city meet, one regional meet, suddenly national team, and I just managed to play well and stay in that national team for 2 years.
Yeah, that's a super injured. Quick progression. How was it representing your country?
Oh, I have the most amazing memories from it. I remember the first game with the national team we had. We had a meet in like the borders between Austria, Italy, and like, I don't know, another country. The first game was against Japan in this like stadium up in the mountains that had like 30,000 seats. I mean, obviously it looked empty because there were probably only like a few hundred there. But I remember when we walked out onto the field with like music on, we like stood there, kind of like your hands around like all the guys, and the national team song comes on, you just like fucking scream your lungs out. Oh, I get goosebumps just thinking about it. I get goosebumps, holy shit.
And Helmer, I also remember watching one of your games online. I think it was the under 17 Euros, correct me if I'm wrong, against Sweden.
Way.
Yeah.
And I think like 2 minutes after I turned it on, you got kicked in the face, you got subbed off. From then, you were injured for like almost 2 years, right?
Yeah. So I remember it was under 17 Euros. My under 16 year had been kind of stagnant. But going into the under 17 season, I had like started improving a lot and getting better with the ball at my feet and everything. So the under 17 Euros was kind of like, shit, this is dope. The season's going to be good, you know? And I started the first two games, first against Portugal, 0-0. And then the second game was against Sweden. I played really well against Portugal. And I think after half an hour against Sweden, I dive forward after we have a free kick high in the pitch, and the ball's crossed in, and it gets kind of like, I'm at the back post. It's kind of low towards the ground. So I dive forward to head of the ball. And just as I'm about to head of the ball, the Swedish defender clears the ball. But because I'm so close, his follow through with his foot goes through my face. So my face just like, I think I had like this like cheekbone here was just crushed and like turned in. I also had a fracture above my eyebrow. And 2 days after this happened, I was flown back to Norway. I had a surgery because I had to have surgery for all the like pretty much crushed facial structure that I had, and I now still to this day have 14 screws and 3 titanium plates, one here and then 2 around here. So I remember the surgeon afterwards talking to my parents about it. He was like, in this really thick Norwegian dialect, he was like, yeah, so The surgery was very, very fun. I mean, there was kind of like a puzzle. There was so much more to do than I thought I had to.
Man, you're like Terminator. So, I mean, this guy, you have like... you're like Terminator, yeah,
so it's like, Homer, do you beep every time you go to the airport, like metal detector?
So anticlimactic the first time I went to the airport. I was so excited to walk through the thing and have it beep and like, oh no, sorry, bro. I just have like screws and plates in my face.
Unfortunate.
Yeah.
But no. Then you had that face injury, but then you also had a knee injury after that, right?
Yeah. So the face injury, I was out for, I mean, the crazy thing, it sounds wild, but I was only injured for 6 weeks because it was pretty much just like treated as a normal fracture, as if you'd fracture your arm or something. So then, but then when I get back from that injury, I suddenly start feeling like this pain in my knee, behind my kneecap, and it kind of just gets worse as I play. And that happened, I think I was back from that injury in probably like, I don't know, like June or something. So during the summer. This pain like keeps going, and I have some like meets with doctors and everything to see what's up. And it wasn't until the start of October where we decided that I should get a surgery. That surgery was successful in October of 2018, but in my rehab, things went fine the first few months, but then suddenly I had like 5 months of like no progression, which was probably like the hardest months of my life, because the injury in itself wasn't that bad, you know? They told me, 3 to 6 months and you'll be back. And that's fine, because you have something to work towards. But all of a sudden, these 5 months went by and jack shit was happening, you know? Everything was just standstill. This is when I also then met with a sports psychologist, because I was having a hard time just dealing with it. Like, I was crying. I started crying a few times because I was – I started – not fearing for my football career, but fearing that I wasn't going to be able to be like an active dad in the future, you know, because I think it had, after 10 months of the first surgery, I still couldn't run without a lot of pain, you know, so I was honestly terrified. Then I meet Sam, blessing in disguise. He, this is a personal trainer. I meet him through one of my friends, and he, like, the first 3 weeks of working with him, suddenly after 3 weeks, I start feeling progression already after 5 months of, like, standstill. But then he also says that, you know what, it does look like you're going to have a second surgery because there's not much more I can do here, it looks like. So I get a second opinion. I check with this new surgeon, and he looks at these MRI photos that I had taken, like, 6-7 months beforehand. And the surgeon says, look, you should have had a surgery a long time ago. You have too much growth of this, I think it's meniscus or brusque, the layer that they were repairing. So I just had a second surgery. And then that was then a year after the first surgery, October of 2019. And then it took me pretty much a whole year to rehab from that surgery. And I think until I had my first game again. So, because I mean, I hadn't run for like a year and a half after the second surgery. Then I obviously had to rehab a bit. So I think it had been 2 years without running at all. But then I still needed 6 months for my body to just adapt to physical fucking activity. Because I had done nothing in those 2 years. I couldn't do anything, you know? So I had fucking small calf tears in both my calves. I had small like adductor tears, like groin tears. I had like suddenly got back pain for like 2 months. Some other things in my knee started hurting, like the patella tendon and all these other things. So 6 months of just like general training. And then finally, I think it was 907 days after this game against Sweden in 2018. So then 907 days, fall of 2020, I played my first game for the junior team at Stabæk. And then obviously Corona hits, or like the second wave of Corona hits. So then everything was shut down and I didn't play again, until the season started again the summer after that.
That's a long time out from that kick in the face.
Yeah.
So yeah, no. I miss all of high school football pretty much.
Mm. Yeah. Damn. And in January 2021, you left Stabæk for a team. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. Kjelsås.
Yeah. So I guess maybe in my introduction I forgot to say, but I now play for Kjelsås in the It's the third level in Norway. So yeah. After, like, Stabæk is a first-tier side. But yep. When I left there, they pretty much told me that, look, you can train with us this spring preseason, but we can't guarantee you anything. Because I'd obviously had, like, a promising youth career and everything, but I'd been out for 2.5 years. So they said, like, we don't really know and we can't give you anything, like, proper.
Yeah.
So I kind of said that I'm not willing to risk, like, half a year of training with you guys for nothing. So then I pretty much just, like, found an agent who was willing to help me find a club, found Chelsea, and then simply because of my footballing CV, I didn't need a trial or anything, and I just joined them. And then, yeah, that's kind of how that chapter started.
And how's that, like, journey been so far, playing for Chelsea?
You've changed position as well, right?
Yeah. So it's been good, but it's been like a slow but steady progression. Because this first year, I came back from my injury in October, played a game, but then everything shut down with Corona again, and then we started training again in January. So because I'd been like over 2 years injured, my football, like all my footballing instincts and everything were kind of just erased. So like this whole first year at Chelsea's in 2021, I pretty much needed to just get back into the rhythm, like relearn things that used to be muscle memory. And slowly but surely, I started like gaining back my confidence. And I mean, the funny thing about the Chelsea's story is that I remember the first training I ever had with them, I was so fucking good. Talking to my teammates afterwards, the two center backs told me, like, after my first training session, they were both like, holy shit, bro, we're both about to lose our place in this team. Like, this is this is fucked. I remember the first session, it was kind of like a snowy, cold winter session. And I was like dribbling past anyone pressing me. I had good passes, like my defending was good. And I was like, holy shit, I haven't lost anything. I have the fucking sauce. Holy shit. But then obviously they caught back up with me and I was humbled quick because the next few months were very rocky and not solid. But after that year, I got kind of all these like routines back and just with defending and like my touches and everything. And then the summer, that season ends and I kind of spent that whole season on the bench. The next season, I have kind of a rocky preseason as well, and I'm on the bench until the summer, and then all of a sudden both of our right backs get injured in like the same few weeks. So I start out having to play a few games for the second team at right back instead of center back, and I am kind of impressed my coach, and he's like, oh, this looks exciting, like, is this something you'd be willing to try, Helmer? And I was like, hey, anything to play, please, anything. And then our first choice center back, no, right back, also gets injured, so I have to play a few games there. And I also do well. Then he comes back from injury, plays in front of me, but I keep him, like, impressing for the second team, and until I eventually win a place in the starting 11, like, properly. Not because of injuries, but simply because I've been doing well. I played, I think, the last 9-10 games of the season. Played really well. I had been improving a lot, and I'd never played right back before, so I had to fucking learn how to cross the ball and everything. But things were going well. You know, I was getting a lot of praise from my coaches and the people, like, outside and everything. And then I've had a really good season so far this year as well.
I've also seen you guys just made it to the quarterfinal of the Norwegian Cup, right? Do you think you guys can win it?
So crazy. I've been following it as well. Every single time it's like, you know, they always type it in Norwegian on their store because I follow his club as well. Mm. Every single time it's like midweek game, like against this team who I have no idea who it is. And then I, you know, it's normally like when I'm going to training or maybe if I'm away on a trip or something at a game, and then I'll see the post on the story and then it'll be the lineup, you know, Helmer's at right back or left back or wherever they need him. And then it's just 2-1 or 1-0 Chelsea. And I'm like, every time I've been like, wow, well done. I'm like, not expecting them to like eventually meet like a first division side that's like very tough to beat. And it's like, oh, okay, well, that's going to be the tough game. But they've had the tough games and they've still won every single one. So I'm just watching it like, oh my God, like they're keep going. I mean, compared to our team who lost the first round of our cup. I'm just enjoying the journey through Helmer right now.
Yeah, no, so it's been crazy. I mean, it's the kind of like Norway's FA Cup, the national cup. And I mean, we started playing against a team a tier below us. We made it through on penalties. Then the next round, we immediately meet a first team side, and we're a third tier side. So, but we managed to fucking crush them, leading 3-0 after the first half hour. And
that's insane. Yeah.
And we just like, I mean, it was crazy. They played with kind of like a second string side, but still, we destroyed them. And then we've played against and then we beat the next team who was in the second tier, so one tier above us. We beat them as well. I think 2-1 in the 96th minute, we scored the winner. And then the next game, we play against another second tier side, and we beat them in the 90th minute, where our striker chips the keeper as well. And like we just keep winning, kind of, and we keep playing well, and we keep impressing. And I mean, this last game, I think we won our club like somewhere close to £1 million, which is crazy for a club at our level.
Damn.
Yeah. And because of that, the team kind of gets we got a little bit of that money as well as part of our like our team bank that we use for the end of the season like party trip. So we're looking forward to the end of the season as well.
That's a motivation for you guys then to play well.
we can't use this money as motivation, but yeah. What'd you say?
When is the next game?
12th of July, 13th of July.
Which team are you facing?
It's a team called Raufoss. It's another second tier side. So yeah, we're in the quarterfinals, and there's 6 first tier sides, 1 second tier side, and then us.
Okay. Wow.
So we've been on like the national news and everything, and we were luckily drawn against the only other side that wasn't the first tier side. So we drew the second tier side, and there's also a rule in the Norwegian Cup now where the team that's in the lower division gets a home advantage. So, I mean, we've had home advantage since that first game against the first tier side. And I'm not even kidding. That's the most important thing, because Kjelsås's AstroTurf is, I'm not kidding, Norway's shittest AstroTurf field like that any professional team is playing on. Every single team that comes here complains.
I've even trained on it myself, and it's rough.
Yeah, it's that bad. Wow.
Yeah, it's fucking horrible.
Yeah, and you just signed a contract extension, Kjelsås, until 2025. Congratulations. What do you see as your like next step in your career? Do you see yourself continuing in Kjelsås or if you could decide yourself, what would the good next step be for you?
I mean, honestly, it's just kind of go with what works. I'm playing well at Kjelsås now, so I'm planning on just continuing here until an offer arises that's kind of tempting, where I feel like I'll leave Kjelsås but go to a club and play. You know, I don't want to leave Kjelsås and become like a third string or second string right back and then have 2 seasons kind of on the bench, kind of wasted. You know, I signed a new contract with the club just recently because I don't want to leave before someone's willing to like invest in me, invest in my career, you know? So that's kind of the plan now. Just continue in Kjelsås until like a proper offer arises where it's a good step for my career, you know?
All right. Cool. Makes sense, man.
All right, cool. Thanks, Helmer. And now we're just going to move on to Eric. And Eric, you, after Thailand, I mean, you had a similar story to Helmer, moving from Thailand to an academy. So you moved to DC United. How was that transition, you know, after having played in Thailand and playing in the top US academy?
It was pretty tough. Like, during that time, you know, I was playing in Thailand. I'd been playing with FC Bangkok, and then Max and Helmer left, like two of my best friends. And I was kind of just thinking, like, I really want to make this football thing work. So I needed to go to like higher and higher levels because I knew like where I was at wasn't good enough. So I start training with one of the best Thai teams in Thailand. It's called Muang Thong Thani, a team in Bangkok. Really, really good players, honestly. But every single player was Thai and I just couldn't communicate with them whatsoever. So I was there for like maybe 3 weeks or maybe like almost a month. Played a tournament for them. I played striker of all places. Wow. Yeah, it was wild. I think I scored like 2 or 3 goals like in that tournament as well. Had a good time. And then after that, like I really realized like my mom and my dad were looking for like residency programs or boarding schools, like go play football somewhere else in the world, just because my dad was still working in Thailand, so he couldn't leave. So we found DC United. I went to go trial there in like January or February. They wanted me, and then I was pretty much out the door from Thailand like the next few weeks. Really tough to live alone like that. I actually got dropped off at the residency on my 15th birthday, cried like a baby to say bye to my mom and dad. Mm-hmm. But you know, I met some really great guys there. Like we had amazing time. Like we had a really tough training regime when I was at DC United, because I was a bit of, like both worlds, I would say, because I was a part of the DC United Academy, but I was also a part of the residency program, which we trained in the mornings and then we also trained in the afternoons. So in the mornings, I would practice pretty much futsal every single morning with my like my friends and teammates who also stayed in the residency program with me. And it was amazing for my like development. Like once in a while in training, like I learned so many like skills and tricks there just because we were bored out of our minds half the time, that like I'll just do them in training or like when we're warming up or something, like I'll just do something just cause that's what I love doing. And like my friends on every team I've been on have been like, Eric, you're 193 centimeters tall. Like, why do you know how to do this stuff? Because like, it doesn't make sense. Like, because you look at me and you think like, oh, this is like some lanky center back who can't control. It doesn't know his right foot from his left foot. I'll end up being able to do skills that like, some of the most technical players in the team can't do, but that's just because like what we did when we were young. Like we watched like F2 freestylers, we watched like all these people on YouTube to like learn cool skills, and you know we did it so much. And honestly, like in small sided games, and sometimes even in like the last match, I'll find myself in like really tough spots, and as a center back, and I'll like dribble past people and like skill past people. And it's a crazy thing to like think about how what Helmer said, you know, how all the stuff you do like a very long time ago all of a sudden just shows itself one day and you're like, wow, thank God I learned how to do that. But that's what a lot of what I learned there was, to become independent and like live alone from my family. It was a very tough time for me. I also struggled with some injuries as well. I had a knee surgery. It was a very simple recovery, but didn't play much at all. DC probably played maybe 10 games for their academy. Then at that point, my mom and dad were moving back to Houston. So it was going into my 11th grade. So basically, yeah, I was 16 turning 17 years old. So I tried out for Houston. They really liked me. And then from then, it was a really like sharp climb. I was with Houston for 6 months, and then I started getting invited to not preseason, but first team trainings quite often. And it was quite tough to like be in the first team trainings for like two different reasons. Like one, super high level, like what Helmer said, he had PTSD when he was going into trainings. Like I had the exact same thing. I was so nervous. Like it was so tough for me, you know, because it had been like maybe 2 years before I was like playing with just random people in Thailand and like in Phuket. And then all of a sudden I'm with like DeMarcus Beasley, who had played in 4 World Cups in the US. Some of these big players, you know, and like, at least, you know, in the US, they were big players. It was pretty tough. Like, but I think one of the skills I just learned from moving around and being in those different environments was that, like, I tend to perform better when under pressure, and like not the other way around. Like, if there's no pressure on me, like, I normally do worse. I don't know why. Like, it's just the way that I am as a footballer. But yeah, so I ended up doing quite well in first team training. And the general manager at the time really liked me, so he wanted to sign me. I was about to commit to the school called Wake Forest, which is in North Carolina, I think. So they were actually the number one for college soccer or football in the U.S. at the time. So I was about to go there, but Houston, they wanted to keep me. They signed me to a five-year deal, and I was like, okay, sure, like I'll stay. So I stayed. And it didn't really turn out the way that I'd hoped. The coach who had signed me at the time, he wasn't like the biggest fan of young players.
Who was the coach back then?
Wilmer Cabrera.
Okay.
So he's actually in the USL now. I'm going to play his team in like maybe 2 weeks, which will be very interesting.
Wow. Damn.
Yeah, revenge.
Time for revenge. Yeah.
Exactly. Full circle. But he, when he actually came to the club, he told like the academy coaches, like, I don't want any academy players in my training. I only want like older experienced players. Crazy to think about. I know. Yeah. As a European, I'm sure you guys think it's like a sin to say that to an academy.
Yeah, you can't say that.
You know, so
I think I never heard that a coach didn't want to play the young players. It feels like,
yeah, like just out of principle.
Yeah, yeah.
It was what he said from the very beginning. So me and one other player, were basically the only two players ever going into first team training. Like, and it was kind of like we had all the odds stacked against us. And then all of a sudden I got given a contract. So it was really tough. In my first year, I actually did have like a decent first year. I did get invited to, the Swedish under 19s national team. But unfortunately, like a week before, I picked up like a crack in my heel. In like the bone in my heel, so I couldn't go. Probably my like biggest heartbreak in football. I think I've told Salma before. It still haunts me to this day that I haven't gone.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But
that must have hurt.
Yeah, it sucked, I will have to say. But you know, it's been like something that also like drives me a lot as well. But yeah, so what next? And then I got invited to what it's called, the MLS Homegrown All-Stars. So it's basically just all the best players from the league who are young, and they go with the All-Stars, who are all the best players from like the league in general. So that year, so we all went to Orlando, Florida. So that year for the first team All-Stars, there was Bastian Schweinsteiger, Wayne Rooney, Luis Nani, Zlatan was there. There was Chris Wondolowski. There were a lot of huge players from like my childhood that I saw. And I remember like, this is probably one of like the like most interesting times in football for me, because I was there with a lot of players who are quite like big, like young American stars now. Like, that's where I met Brendan Aaronson, who plays at Leeds. That's where I met, who else? Brian Reynolds, who plays for Roma right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's on loan for FC.
In Belgium, I think.
Yeah, the Belgian team. You know, there were a few other guys as well that I met, but it was just a really interesting time for me. Like, I was able to kind of compare myself to these players who were starting for their first teams in the MLS, and I was, like, not even rostered each game. And quite a few of them were like, Eric, like, why haven't we heard of you after the game? Because I went into it, honestly, like, very insecure, if I'm being honest. Like, I went into it because each one of these players had at least like rostered every single game. And like some of them were playing games and starting games and like getting team of the week. So I was like, wow, like I genuinely don't know if I'm at this level right now. So we played against a Mexican team, Chivas Guadalajara, and we won on penalties. But so they do. So we have so many players that come and it's just like for publicity or whatever. And you have one half of the team plays 45 minutes and the other half of the team plays 45 minutes. So I only got 45 minutes, did quite well. And then afterwards, like a few of them were coming up to me and like very curious, like they were asking me, so like, what are Houston telling you? This is obviously when I was signed with Houston. And they were like asking me like what the deal was, like, why aren't you like at least getting on the roster because they thought I played so well, which was a very confusing time for me. Like with what Helmer said with his knee, like I also ended up seeing a sports psychologist because I was very unhappy at Houston. Like wasn't getting any minutes. I wasn't even getting minutes with the second team. I was just training, doing nothing. So, you know, hearing that from all those players who were at such a high level at such a young age, I was like, wow, okay, maybe I'm actually a little bit better than I think I am. And that's actually been something I've struggled with quite a lot throughout my career has been confidence. Like I've honestly never thought I was as good as some people around me tell me I am. So there's been some people in my life, like obviously like my parents and other people who have like mentored me that have kind of, they had to really push me hard because I never really felt like I was at the level that they said I was. Like deep down, I felt it was kind of like I'm kind of lucky to be here right now, all these kinds of things. And then, so fast forward, you know, later on, we'll talk about this later, but season, I've really started to like, I think this is kind of what you'd call like a breakout season, you know, this season, but I'll talk about it later. Anyways, I want to talk about meeting Zlatan. So it was at the, I was at the hotel and, you know, walking around with all these stars, like, you know, we were just eating in the same cafeteria as like all these players are talking about, like Bastian Schweinsteiger, Rooney, Nani, Zlatan. And I was just sitting there, like looking at these people, like my jaw was just on the floor. I was like, you guys are like real. You guys are here. And that same day we had got back from training. So we trained right next to them on the same pitch, like the day before the game. So they ended up playing Atletico Madrid the next day, the first team All-Stars. And so, you know, came back from the hotel, you know, we were going up the elevator and I was just in the elevator with Rooney, Wondolowski, and I think it was Schweinsteiger. I was in the elevator with them three. And then I was with one of my teammates, I think was like I think it was Brian Reynolds. I don't really remember. But anyways, we were just in the elevator. I remember this conversation so well. I was just kind of like looking down at my feet and I kind of looked up and I looked at them. And then nobody said anything until Rooney was like, it's hot outside, isn't it? Yeah, that's America for you. Yeah. And then Wondolowski was like, yeah, no, this is not my first time being here. It's so hot outside. And then they just leave the elevator. And I was just looking at the wall thinking like, what? Like I played with Schweinsteiger like on my Xbox and like Rooney on my Xbox when I was like in Thailand with Helmer. Like we were playing with these players and all of a sudden I'm just in the elevator with them, like talking about the weather. You know, it's so weird. So that was just a crazy experience. And then later on in the day, we take like a team walk or whatever. I think maybe it was the next day. But I see Zlatan in the gym, right? And I'm the only other player that's like Swedish, like of any kind at the event. So I was like, oh, I have to go. I can't not go. So I went into the gym so nervous because I felt so bad to like ask him for his time. So I walked up to his trainer. I was like, hi. I'm so sorry. Like I saw Zlatan there. I'm the only other like Swedish player here. I just wanted to introduce myself and just like maybe have a chat with him and, you know, just say hi. And he was like so friendly. The trainer was like, oh yeah, of course, no problem. And at first when I walked over to Zlatan, like he didn't really seem too happy and obviously that's understandable. But then I busted out the Swedish and his whole expression changed instantly because obviously no idea like who was there. I'm sure he didn't even know his teammates on the first team that were there, you know, like let alone the young players who were on like the second team, I guess you could say. But I started speaking to him in Swedish and he was so friendly. Like he was so nice. He was just doing his exercises. Honestly, the whole time he was laying down on the floor. it was so funny. And honestly, like I barely got to speak about him because he was just asking me like, he asked me like 25, like 30 questions. He was so friendly. Like I didn't think he was going to be rude, but I didn't think he was going to be as nice as he was. So, you know, I was just asking him like, what has he been thinking about America? And he was just telling me about his family, how he like didn't mind at all living in LA. And then he just, honestly, the whole conversation was kind of about me. And I didn't like that at all because I wanted to talk about him. You know? he was asking me like so many questions about, you know, like how it is playing the team I'm at, like what has been like. I told him about like, you know, the Swedish national team call up and I didn't go to. And he was like, oh, so like where have you lived? So I told him kind of my life story, like living in like Thailand and China and all these things. And he was just surprised that I had like made it pro at all, like living in those places. And he was just saying how he's like been in Thailand before, his family loved it, like all these things. And it was just a crazy experience. But it was just like in that moment, like that I got back and came back to Houston. I was like, wow, like that was a crazy experience. Cause I had been like, I'd met all like so many of my like childhood stars, you know.
Yeah.
And then I came back to Houston. It was back to same old, didn't start seeing games, play, you know, like, on the side.
Worlds.
Nothing changed.
Yeah.
But yeah, so basically my time in Houston was just a lot of training as hard as I can, nothing happening, playing some games with the second team, which was RGV FC at the time. And then my third year going on loan for the whole season to the Charleston Battery, which is also in the second division of the United States like leagues. And it went pretty well. Like I scored my first goal there, got my first professional assist there as well. I played like 15 games probably. Had a pretty good season. But then probably like 2 months before I went back to Houston, they changed the entire management. Everything top to bottom changed. Like they owners, okay. Like entire ownership group was different. Our general manager was different. Coach, half of the coaching staff was gone. Half the players were also cut, like taken away from the team. And unfortunately, I was just one of those players. Like the general manager, when I went in, he didn't even like know like what position I played or what foot was my dominant foot. You know, like he didn't even know like who I was really. So he had basically already made his decision. And I was like, okay, I was definitely very disappointed because I'd been at the club for almost 5 years from being under 17 to, you know, the first team. And I'd like won like awards and stuff, like the academy, like player of the year, like all this kind of stuff. So I'd been there for a while. And then all of a sudden just nothing. And then the agent I had at the time, we weren't able to find anything proper. And I eventually ended up just being kind of led astray to a development system that was in the Faroe Islands, which was like, basically what it was meant to look like was a platform to getting you over to like the second or first division of Denmark. And that they said they had a lot of like connections and all these sort of things. So I basically had nothing like to go into, like no teams wanted me. And that's something that like I really had to come to terms with in football, was that like sometimes you can be a good player, you can have some good like history or like CV, you know, like Helmer said, but just nothing happens. It's a really mentally tough time. It was probably one of the hardest times of my life where I felt very like undervalued, like nobody had any interest in me, and I was like, wow, like is football even in the cards for me for the future? And then I got this offer from the Faroe Islands and I took it just because it was the only thing I could do. I actually was at preseason with Charleston Battery that season as well. Did really well, but the new coach didn't want me. And then so I went to the Faroe Islands and started every single game. And it was kind of tough to play there. Like there was a lot of times where I was unhappy, especially with the weather. Oh my god, I was gonna say
it's kind of windy, right?
Kind of windy. We would play like games like at training sometimes, and first of all it would be so windy and rainy you couldn't open your eyes because like the wind and the rain together would like blind you. And then second of all, wind would be so powerful that in the middle of our small-sided games, or like maybe we're doing finishing, the goal would move.
What?
The wind would blow the goal. Like I remember so clearly this one time, we were doing a finishing exercise. I basically got the ball, you know, he passed it back to me and I was about to shoot. And first of all, the ball, like, you know, is moving all over the place because of the wind. So I'm trying to like figure out where the ball is going to go. I try to shoot. I miss the, like, the shot completely because it's impossible. And I look up and the goal has moved like 10 meters. No way. The craziest experience I've ever had in terms of weather. It was almost like you were battling like Thor or something because he's making the wind so crazy. And like, so anyways, I played there. It was an interesting situation because there were a whole lot of like problems like on the side. We don't need to get into, but I kind of got what I asked for so long, which was I wanted to play. I just wanted to play every single minute, every single game. That's all I wanted. I just wanted to play.
Yeah.
And it was funny because I don't know if you guys can see this, but I wear this thing. It's called like, it's called a Brazilian wish band. So you make three wishes and they won't all come true until you, it breaks off, or when they do all come true, you cut it off. So, So one of, obviously I can't tell you all of them, but two of them have come true. One of them was to play in Europe. Okay. So I didn't get what I asked for. I thought it was gonna happen. So basically, you know, I've been telling my family, like, oh, I just wanna play. So I went to the Faroe Islands and I got to play. But you know, I wasn't like super, super happy. But I had to remind myself quite often that, you know, Eric, this is what you asked for. Like, you have to deal with this.
Playing in Europe.
Yeah,
exactly. And I developed, I got to play every single game, got a lot of minutes. And then towards the end of the season, my new agent I had at the time, like probably was about a month until the end of the season, that El Paso Locomotive FC, they reached out to us and they had interest from the very beginning. It was an old coach, but he wanted me really quickly. And then now I'm here. And it's been quite a wild ride, I will have to say. I mean, Helmer's been like following along with my season as well. But like from the beginning of the season, I kind of came in like the exact same situation as Helmer was as Stabæk, which was kind of like fourth string center back. Mm. Like coach didn't really know me, didn't really think like I had anything to me because to be fair, the coach I have now didn't sign me. He signed other players because he came in 2 weeks after my old coach who signed me here, and then he left the club. So I was like, wow, okay, nice. Then I come in here, you know, preseason, and then the first like month or two of the season, like I'm really not like given look in, you know. And then probably like 2 days after our first game, one of our center backs tears his ACL. So he's out for the entire season. So I'm like, wow, that's awful to hear, first of all, because my sister tore ACL. Like, it was terrible, like, watching her.
That's a terrible injury.
Absolutely terrible. But at the end of the day, like, one man's trash is another man's treasure. You know, it gives me
for sure.
Other players an opportunity to play. That's just the way it is. And so then the players I have in front of me are our club captain, who's the right side of center back, or left side of center back, and then the other player is Hungarian. His name is Bense. Very good player. The coach brought him in like specifically to start, you know. So I was like, okay, like, you know, I'm a little bit closer. Maybe one person gets a small injury, then I can start playing. And then basically after like a few weeks after preseason, I was really having like some mental problems to like keep staying motivated to keep playing because I coached in change any of his lineup, and you know, quite tough to get into the starting lineup with this coach unless you're in it already. One of those guys who likes to keep it very consistent and likes to develop it that way. So that's fair, totally his decision, no problem. But I just knew I had to like buckle down and work, and I just kind of like what Helmer said earlier, you know, all of a sudden things just started working out. Like in training I probably took my level up like 5-6 like levels that I've been at before, started training the best I had in my entire life, you know, doing extra training, trying to develop everything I can. And like, I really put all my frustrated energy from not playing into just developing myself as much as possible. And honestly, like the way I was training, the way I was playing, like I knew that even if I hadn't played a minute this year, I would have gotten much better. Then all of a sudden our captain gets injured and has to get surgery as well. So I'm just kind of thrown into it. Our team doing really well at the time on a winning streak. I think it was 5 wins in a row, maybe 4 or something. And like, I was just thrust into it. Coach didn't really even talk to me. He was like, I'd spoken to him before and he said, you've been training well, so just go ahead. Like, it's just your time to play. You've been asking for it, so go play. So and it was quite amazing timing because my dad and my girlfriend were visiting me at the time. And I had that game that weekend and I was so nervous up until the game. I was like, oh, like, they came all this way to see me and they're not even going to see me play. All of a sudden, center back is injured, gets surgery, and then I'm starting. So like, I've told this to my girlfriend and my family a million times, but football, things change fast.
Yeah,
they do.
And you have to keep hopeful until, you know, it actually happens to you and you can celebrate it a little bit. So I play the game against Loudon, which is a basically DC United second team in our league. And I almost got man of the match, like according to the people who do that stuff at the team or whatever. So I had a really good game to start off. So I was super relieved. I was like, wow, okay. I've been asking all this time and I actually wasn't terrible. Great. Like, as you know, I was so nervous. I was like, oh, like I'm going to be begging to play for 2 months and then I get to start. And then am I going to just absolutely shit the bed? You know, I was so nervous. And then I went in, played really well, was really solid. And I was like, nice, cool. So we win that game. And then we end up winning, I think, 3 more after that. So we go on a 7-game win streak. I play well in the next few games. I pick up an assist as well against San Antonio FC, which is a very tough team to play here. And then the next game, I also get a goal, and then I get man of the match, a goal line clearance, which kind of was in, by the way. after that, I end up getting like team of the week and everything. So it's like, after the game, I got interviewed from the girl that like interviews people after the game, whatever, get man of the match. And she's asking me like, Eric, you know, you've come in and filled in for our club captain. And like the fans have been like really happy with you. Coach has been super happy with you, with like how you've been playing and stuff. Like, what's clicked for you? In my head, the first thing I had thought of was, I have no fucking clue. No idea. Like, as you know, some people on my team, you know, were kind of asking like, oh, so Eric, I mean, like, you just seem like a different player from the first day you walked in. Like, you seem like a lot different, you seem better, more confident, like all these kinds of things, which is true. Like, I feel that too. But it's like, I'm thinking about it, I have absolutely no idea why. Like, I'm been doing the same stuff I've been doing for years, like doing extra work, doing gym work and all this sorts of stuff. And it's just been working now. I don't know why. So yeah. Super good. I'm not going to complain. I mean, come in and done really well. And, you know, it's been a relief, if I'm being honest, because, you know, last year I did well in the Faroe Islands, but it's like, okay. You know, I have to do well in a better league. And yeah. I've come in and been like, I think according to like the stats, like the top 30 like rated players or something in the league this year. So it's like, I've done quite well for myself and it's an amazing feeling. But for me, it's not about like, yeah, sure, you can have 6 or 7 games, like good. You know, anyone can do that. They can do that. Yeah. But it's about being consistent now. And for me, we've just signed a new center back and our captain is coming back from injury now. So it's just going to be really interesting to see like what happens now, because like we'll have to see what the coach wants to do, you know, if he wants to keep playing me or if I'm straight to the bench now, the captain's back, but we will have to.
You've done your part.
Yeah, exactly. You've done what you could have done.
Exactly. That's pretty much all I wanted to do, was to get an opportunity and make the most of it. So I'm grateful that I could do that. And we'll just have to see what happens next. So
yeah, because that's actually our next question. Helmer got it too. But what do you think would be like a good next step for you in your career? Are you like aiming to get back to the MLS, or is it maybe to return to Sweden and become come closer to your like roots, or maybe somewhere else, maybe Norway, and play with Helmer? What do you have in mind?
Honestly, I got asked this a few weeks ago as well, and I don't know. Like, for me, it's more of I want to just play the absolute best football I can.
Yeah.
And then wherever I go or wherever I play is just a byproduct of that. I just want to like be the absolute best I can be and just see where my football takes me, because I've been in a situation before at Houston where I was at like, you know, the MLS, you know, like woohoo, but it's the unhappiest I've ever been playing football. So I never played. I never got to like really enjoy myself. And I kind of realized in that moment that the most important thing for me is to go somewhere where I'm, first of all, like appreciated and where I'm going to play. So next year, if let's just say, obviously knock on wood, that I keep playing well and get to continue getting minutes throughout the season, that I do get some offers. I just basically, my number one question to all of them is just going to be like, am I going to play? Do you, like, how bad do you guys really want me? Because I don't want to go somewhere where I'm just going to be a backup. Because at the end of the day, every footballer should think they shouldn't be a backup, you know. So yeah, I think that's how I'd answer that question.
That's a good mature answer. The same as Helmut did.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think that you guys are only like 22 or something. You feel very wise already.
No, I think obviously me and Helmut, we've spoken about like our dream locations to play football. Like, I know what Helmer's answer is. I don't even remember my answer, so maybe Helmer knows my answer. But I know Helmer said he's always wanted to play in Italy, like the Serie A would be.
Okay.
I could also see him playing there because they have like gladiators. You remember that? What?
Yeah, Peter. I have a good quote from this because I remember I was listening to the Peter Crouch podcast a few years ago, and I think Peter Crouch was talking about like different types of defenders. You could either be a gazelle or you could be a bull. The gazelle is the elegant, kind of nonchalant, technical and controlled.
Like Rio Ferdinand type.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, like calculated, it's like controlled, everything looks good and everything. Or you could have the bull. That's kind of more like Nemanja Vidic, you know, someone who put their head in where other people wouldn't put their feet.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, me and Eric, like, I remember listening to Eric speak about like his technical ability and how he didn't get played in Houston and all these things. I have always been the one of us two with the shittest technique, but with like the most willpower to just like get whatever needs to be done, you know?
Yeah.
So like me hearing Eric like being all these different places, and not really getting playing time. And then we meet like some winter or some off season. We just like play some football together. And his technique is like 1,000 times better than mine. And I've been playing in the national teams. Like, this shit has never been adding up for me, you know? So I'm happy to see that Eric is finally getting game time and getting all this like, good.
That's not true.
Good, but yeah, in this scenario, I am 100% the bull and Eric is 100% the gazelle.
Yeah, it sums us up quite well. Like, I think the way that I like to defend, it's more, I would prefer just to poke the ball away and just like counterattack, you know? And like, I don't, for me, like I'm big, yes, and I can be very aggressive, but Helmer is so much better at that. That's why when we were playing center back together, we were like the perfect combination, because anytime that like we'd be in a situation where it could be maybe like one of us going into that absolutely wild tackle, we both know Helmer's the one's going to do that. So like, like head first dive to kill somebody.
I mean, that's why I have fucking 14 screws and 3 dead hanging plates in my head. I mean, it's not like that. I can't recommend it, but I mean, I can't help but do those things myself.
He's so good at it, and like it's something that I've always respected so much from him. Like, my probably my number one feedback from all the people I've played with is like, Eric, we think you need a little bit more like Sergio Ramos in you, you know, which is, I just need to be a little bit crazier. And in games, if, you know, I get to a certain point of aggression, that it'll definitely come out. But normally I'm not like that because I just don't really pick up many yellows, never gotten a red card in my professional career. So it's like, just not really how I play.
Hope to see you play together then, the central defenders one day.
Oh, it would be cool. So good. I mean,
new village in Rio.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Palmer is, you know, a bit more like right back now, but
yeah,
you know, I think I would love to play with him like one time, like even if it's just for 6 months, like as a pro, that would be amazing. It would be so cool.
Yeah, man. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
I hope.
We're gonna move on to the final part, the quick fire questions. Do so it. it's gonna be six where you have to guess for the other person, right?
Okay.
And then there's gonna be six by yourself.
Okay.
All right. Let's say we begin with Helmer. So Helmer, you guess for Eric for these next six, and then we'll take it from there.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. All right. With this favorite delay, movie or series? It won't be quick fire, but let's go. Oh shit! Exactly. Attack on Titan.
Is it right?
Wait. So right now we're doing Helmer's answering for me.
Yeah. And then you're going to guess for him. And you guys, you have to say if he's right or not. And then we'll count the points.
Helmer, you know what my favorite movie is. It's probably your... Remember? We said it at the same time. Remember?
Oh, yeah. All Interstellar.
There we go. Right. Correct.
But that's yours as well then?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so then 1-1 on that one. Shit. Favorite meal?
Oh, it's a tough one.
Fucking hell. Burgers. I don't fucking know.
Nah, I mean, it's a tough one to say. I would probably say it's like pizza or something. That's
okay. So wrong on that one. And Eric, what do you guess for Helmer?
Oh, favorite meal? I would say the favorite thing that he likes to cook, he likes to do this like caramelized onion pasta with like, I think it has like parma ham or something in it as well.
Wow.
He loves it. I don't know.
I mean, you might honestly be right. You might honestly be right.
Are you giving him the point?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, okay.
2-1 then.
2-1 to Eric then. The player that you're most similar to. So then the player that Eric is most similar to.
Shit. Van Dijk.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Okay. He gets the point. Player Helmer is most similar to. This is who I think. Helmer, you have to think past players as well, players who've been retired. I think Puyol.
Yeah, honestly, when we were talking about it beforehand, I was about to say like I'm more of a Puyol type and you're more of a PK type.
Okay.
Perfect. I'll give you that one.
Yeah. You guys are good at this. Damn.
Yeah, we spend way too much time talking to each other. It's unreal.
I mean, we're practically in sync.
Yeah. Okay. Next.
A favorite music artist
or band or
band group.
Helmer, you go first.
I'll say Skizzy Mars for Eric.
Yep, he's right.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, Eric?
For Helmer, oh, he definitely doesn't have one. Look at his face. He doesn't have one. I think if I was to say someone right now that I could see you listening to all time, it's Dave. You know, the English artist, the English rapper. Dave.
Oh, I mean, I listen to a few of his songs, but right now it's...
Oh, no. Okay.
I'm listening to a lot of Afrobeat at the moment. Because of the footballing environment in Norway is like all Afrobeat. So, I mean, I'd honestly almost say like Burna Boy or some shit.
Burna Boy, yeah. I can see that too. Okay, so we're 3-3 now.
3-3, exactly.
All right. Favorite player of all time?
Damn. Fuck. Zidane.
No, I think my favorite player, like the player that made me like fall in love with football, was Ronaldinho.
Okay.
Oh shit!
Yeah, It's, you learn something new every day. Oh my gosh! Helmer's favorite player of all time. Oh my god, I can't think of a single player. Can you think of a single player?
I have one, yeah.
Okay, you have one. Question, is it Liverpool related?
No, actually.
Okay, well then I would have to say I'm just going to get Messi.
Well, it's like, I would say Sergio Ramos or Zlatan, because I remember when I was younger, I read the Zlatan book, and I mean, Sergio Ramos is obviously like,
okay.
I love his level of shithousery.
Yeah.
So still 3-3 then.
Yeah.
Final question then.
Yeah.
Favorite other sport?
For me? Oh.
Yeah, exactly. So after football?
I know what Helmer is. I'm not going to be able to know mine. I don't even know if I have another one, do I? Okay.
Sex.
Oh my god.
It's actually officially a sport in Sweden now.
Yeah. They were the world champions in Sweden, actually. Yeah. Like two weeks ago.
if that wasn't my answer, honestly, the sport that I have a lot of fun with is like tennis. I love playing tennis. It's so much fun. I suck at it, but it's so much fun. It's golf.
I mean, yeah. I started playing two seasons ago, and this is so much fun.
It's golf or him watching. If it's like sports, we like watching, it'd be Formula One for him. 100%.
Yeah. It's golf, definitely. Formula One, I haven't been able to watch, because all our games are right in the middle of the Formula One time.
Oh, okay.
Golf.
That means Eric wins then.
Yeah.
Right?
4-3.
4-3.
Fuck.
But still, close one though. So
yeah, very, very close one. I'd say we do a lot about each other. But the thing is like when the person doesn't even know the answer themselves, it's very hard to.
Yeah,
know.
Then it's hard to figure out. So now we're gonna make it a little bit more easy for you guys. Now you're gonna answer it yourself. Okay. So now we're gonna start with Eric during this round. Best player you ever played with.
Best player ever played with. I would say Brendan Aaronson when I was at the homegrown game. He was baller. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's class.
He's a really good player. Actually, I'm surprised he hasn't played that much in Leeds. I think he's really good.
He's so good.
His younger brother is also like super good, right?
Yeah, he's at Frankfurt now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy. Absolutely crazy.
And then you, Helmer, best player you played with?
Probably a player called Christopher Askildsen, who's in Italy right now. We've like played together in all of our he's a friend from my football youth.
Yeah, I know him. He's also a really good player. Mm-hmm. Where is he now in Italy? Which club?
He was on loan at Lecce, but he has contract in Sampdoria.
Oh yeah, true. All right. Best player you played against then, Eric?
I'd have to say it was Driussi, who plays for Austin FC, the number 10. No, that's not true. Josef Martinez, Atlanta United.
Yeah, he's now in Inter Miami.
He's at Inter Miami now. I played against him in a preseason game. He was even just coming back from injury then. Oh my god, he was so hard to mark. He was always on my back shoulder and everything. So tough to play against, but he was a good player.
Yeah, I can understand that. Helmer?
I would say Fabio Silva or Gonzalo Ramos. I played against, or I think those two played for the Portugal national team on the under 17 Euros.
Damn.
They both Gonzalo Ramos is crazy, right?
No. Yeah.
That's the guy from Benfica.
Oh, that's the guy from Benfica. Oh, sorry. Damn.
Yeah.
It was fine.
He
was in Wolves before. And it was Anderlecht, I think, now. Something like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really good players, too. Damn. Crazy you both face those type of players. They're super good.
Best moment of your career so far?
I'd probably say going to the homegrown game was probably one of my best moments of my career. Super exciting. Got to meet so many amazing people, amazing stars. So super fun.
All right.
Homer?
For me, it would be just now getting to the quarterfinals with Celsos, but it's closely tied with my school tournament golden goal header goal in Bangladesh in sixth grade. a close tie.
Do you have a pre-match ritual or superstition?
Yeah, so I mean, for me, it's I wear this necklace. I can put it closer to the camera so you can see, but it's this necklace and it's a cross. I'm actually not religious at all, which is very ironic, but I wear it just because my American grandma, she gave it to me like probably 4 years ago. So it's kind of just turned into my good luck charm. I just say like a small prayer, like for my family and my people that I love in my family and everything. So I just say a prayer for them, do something like that. And then other than that, I obviously go through like some exercises. I do like this very short 15-second like breath control. Mm-hmm. It kind of just like locks me in right before the game.
Cool. Helmer?
I don't really have any superstitions, but I have like a routine. I always eat banana pancakes before games. And I always like tape my shin guards the same way. But other than that, there's nothing.
Career goal in one sentence.
Helmer, you want to go?
Yeah, go ahead first, Helmer.
Just playing professionally abroad. That's kind of where I'm at now.
And for me, I would say just to become like the best player I can possibly be.
Lame.
Well, Helmer, I've already played abroad, so
shut the fuck up.
All right, final question then. Last minute penalty with your life on the line. Who do you want to take it?
Helmer, you go first.
Mario Balotelli.
That is a 50-50 if you die or if you continue living. Now, he was a really good penalty shooter, but you know, this guy is crazy. He can have a guy he doesn't like in the crowd, so anyone hit him instead of the goal.
Yeah. Yeah. Little,
yeah, exactly. Rabona penalty or something like that.
If he does it with style, even better.
You're dying with style then.
I mean, you live on the edge.
Exactly.
Yeah, for sure.
God, I think I would go for Mr. Clutch himself, Cristiano Ronaldo.
Wow.
Absolutely. Yeah. I am living my whole life if he's taking the penalty.
He doesn't miss big ones.
Nah, exactly. You're going to be old then, Eric. Helmer is a bit shaky there.
Yeah.
That scenario happens.
This is Helmer's gravestone every year. Don't worry.
Thank you, Eric. I appreciate the love.
Yeah, guys, it's been an amazing episode. I've been laughing so much, and it's been so interesting to hear both of your stories breaking into professional football. And you guys have 20 years left to play, so it's really interesting to hear your journey so far. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did.
I had a great time.
Of course. Yeah. Such a good time. Thank you so much for having us.
Cool, guys. And yeah, make sure to all our listeners, make sure to follow both Helmer and Eric's journeys on Instagram, and also follow their teams and so on. You know, the Norwegian Cup and USL Championship. Look out for our stars and see them perform.
Of course.
Yeah. Do you have something to add, Chua?
It's been a pleasure having you guys on, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
Agreed.
Yeah, you guys, you know, continue the podcast for a very long time. I'm sure me and Helmer would love to, you know, give you guys an update maybe next year or something, or the end of this year, how things are going. So we would love to be back on and, you know, tell you guys how everything's going. So
we'll do that for sure.
Yeah, we'll do that.
But guys, thank you so much. And to all our listeners, make sure to follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and we will continue to drop episodes during the whole summer. We ain't going on vacation, if you thought that. All right, guys. Have a good evening.
All right, thank you, you too.